And you know, anyone tired of being tired, you know, and that's just kind of how it is. But praise God for His mercy. So I'd like to encourage us tonight from God's Word, and God multiplies in response to our faith. And so may this encourage us from the testimony of course, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is actually, we're going to piggyback off the familiar miracle of the five loaves and two fishes. I know we all know that that story. But I'd like to look at it from maybe the perspective of the disciples, you know. And so when you read the account, in fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is one of those few accounts outside of the crucifixion and the resurrection that is in all four of the gospel accounts. But when you read the miracle, obviously it tells what Jesus did and, you know, how it happened. But I'd like us to consider the point of view of the disciples that were next to the Lord, you know, that were with Him through it all, what they witnessed, what they must have, or maybe what they perhaps thought. Maybe put yourself in their shoes. I like to role play sometimes, you know, pretend I was a disciple. I was the, you know, the 13th guy or something, just, and what I would have thought, and to get from that what the Lord would be teaching us even today. And so let's go to Matthew 14. This is the account in the book of Matthew. So Matthew chapter 14. And again, God multiplies in response to our faith. So faith and obedience first, then the Lord multiplies. But let's go to Matthew 14. Let's go to verse 15. We'll start here, and then we're going to back up a bit. But Matthew 14, verse 15 and 16, the Word of God says, "And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy victuals, buy themselves victuals.'" Now, again, it's not, you know, stated here in Scripture, but again, if I was among the 12, if I was with Jesus, the unspoken part would be, "Lord, please send them away. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. The day is spent. Okay, please, I just want to rest." And then Jesus says in verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" From which I can hear my toes groan and go, oh. But my friends, may we be encouraged by the Word of God when we have nothing to give anyway. And God will respond by multiplying what we give in faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in Thy house. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. And as we read, it's such a wonderful reminder, encouragement that little is much when You are in it. With God, all things are possible, Lord. And even if you only have just one loaf and no fishes, Lord, even then, just our two mites, Lord, that You can multiply it for Your glory, for Your harvest. And Father, we just thank You so much for the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we confess we are a needy people, sinful people. Father, we confess we are a tired people, just tired, Lord, but we give You praise. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and His testimony. He was a tired man, exhausted in His ministry, yet He did so much because of His yielded spirit to You. And so, Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Bless this time in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Again, background here. The disciples had labored with the Lord all day, you know, leading up to this verse, ministering to the people. But not only were they physically exhausted, I mean, that itself is tough when you're just fatigued physically. But it actually began a few verses before that when they were essentially emotionally drained. If you go back to verse 10 with me, this is, of course, starts with the beheading of John the Baptist, where he is killed and martyred. I know, you know, typically we say, you know, Stephen was the first Christian martyr. The context typically is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this context here, John the Baptist is the first martyr in the New Testament, right, as far as that goes. And so let's go to verse 10. It says, "And He sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." Not just martyred, but just, just a mockery of a death, humiliation in his death, where it was just a trophy. And so this is a tough way to go. And then verse 12, "And His disciples came," so John the Baptist's disciples, he had his own following, and took up the body, buried it, and went and told Jesus, Jesus and company. And so when Jesus heard of it, he departed hence by ship into a desert place apart. Okay, and the idea is Jesus just wanted some alone time to grieve. And perhaps we can kind of relate, you know, ever want to just be alone, not talk to anyone, especially sometimes when you get some really bad news. That's, you know, we can understand that. Just to commune with our Father, a little kind of hide away. You don't want to just put on a fake smile because you're not smiling on the inside. And so you just want some alone time. Here we have John the Baptist says his death hits hard to Jesus and the disciples. And wanted some personal private time with his disciples to grieve over it. And remember, Andrew and John, they were close to John the Baptist. They were his disciples before he passed them on to Jesus, right? Behold the Lamb of God, and he kind of ushered them on to follow the Lord, which is what every preacher should be, pointing people to Jesus Christ, not themselves. John the Baptist certainly did that. So Andrew and John were followers of John the Baptist before they followed Jesus. So they knew him. And again, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that was John. He was there was a lot of evil in the world during those during the Bible days. But John was one of those, he was still a light in the darkness. And now that voice crying in the wilderness was snuffed out. It was silenced. And perhaps the disciples were thinking, well, maybe we'll be next. You know, maybe if he died, what about us? You know, John the Baptist was truly a tremendous man of God. Jesus certainly vouched for him, right? None greater than John the Baptist. I mean, certainly a voice for God and truth. He spoke against sin. And of course, he got imprisoned and then killed. And so bottom line, Jesus and his disciples were grieved. They wanted some alone time, but did they get it? Well, let's look at the rest of verse 13 here. And when the people had heard thereof, now there, of course, they don't know what's personally, you know, bothering or weighing on Jesus and his disciples. So they're none the wiser. Most of the time, they are thinking me, right? Themselves, their own needs. So when they heard of where Jesus was, they followed him on foot out of the city. So they kind of go around, okay, right ahead of him. And so verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And so that's wow, what a sight. Now, how Jesus sees people, not the same as how perhaps you and I see people. And so imagine if you and I are the disciples of Jesus, we're emotionally down, you know, we just want some downtime, and then we see a multitude of people, a whole swarm of people. We might not feel like ministering. I might be like, oh boy, wow, okay. What should we do, Lord? Well, verse 14, but it says here what? And Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Well, Jesus ministered to everyone. No downtime for the disciples. And again, it reminded me, Jesus, I mentioned this before, you know, but Jesus was oftentimes just sleep deprived and plain out exhausted during his earthly ministry. He would, we know, pray throughout the night while everyone else was sleeping, and then they would get up and then he would just stay up. So he'd do a lot of all-nighters. He would sneak away sometimes, not to sleep, but to pray. He was so exhausted, and, you know, he sat by the well side. He sent the disciples away. You guys just go ahead to go get some meat. He wasn't lazy. He was just tired. He was exhausted. It says he was weary. And so he rested by the well side. Jesus, he fell asleep, remember, in the boat when there was a storm. But Jesus was asleep. I mean, he was so tired that he just fell asleep during that storm during the day. And so very often, Jesus had minimal sleep. He was operating just very, very tired. The disciples, of course, here, they're emotionally down. And Jesus still heals the sick. I mean, he still ministers. That's amazing. The disciples got to see Jesus as exhausted as he was, as emotionally hurt with the death of John. It was Jesus's idea. It was his decision to, hey, guys, let's get some private time. And so they know that didn't materialize, not yet. But they saw Jesus minister to people. And how did he do it? Well, Bible tells us Jesus went forth. Even when he was fatigued and tired and emotionally empty, Jesus went forth to minister. And why did he do this? Well, look at the rest of the verse. He saw a great multitude he saw them. He saw people. He saw people in their need. He was moved with compassion toward them. This is Jesus exhibiting the love of God. This is the same love that Paul talks about that constrains us. Now, this is huge. Do we believe this, that the love of Christ constraineth us? Because when we believe the word of God, God multiplies in response to our faith. Jesus healed the sick. He worked huge miracles. He healed everyone. Now, we might not, not till we get to verse 21 do we understand just how many people there are. Of course, it tells us the 5,000, he's going to feed them as well, not just heal them, but he's going to feed them. And then plus women and children, so maybe 10 to 15,000 people. Now, yes, not everyone is sick, okay? But if you do, one in what? One in 10? I mean, there's still a lot of sick people. I just want to understand, because it's easy for me to read the Bible and, yeah, okay, heals. But no, slow down. That's a lot of people. And long day. And the disciples themselves, I mean, they were tired to begin with. But then that's not all. And so look at verse 15. So just fast forward now. And when it was evening, and so this is later that day, they've been doing this all day. They ministered all day to the people. The day is at the end, what you and I would think of after hours, okay? Time to close up shop. Is it bedtime yet? Right? Okay. Imagining yourselves, imagine we work a full shift. All we want to do at the end of our shift is what? At least for me, we just want to go home. I just want to go home, clock out, punch out, tap out. The disciples were exhausted. And again, we know it's 10 to 15,000 people. Imagine managing an overcrowded ER for a whole day, and there's only one physician. I mean, this is like, okay. I mean, this is a lot of work. And so they asked Jesus now, which is a very, you know, understandable request. The day is done. They've healed everyone. And it's like, well, okay. John, says Peter, that's the last one. I think we healed every single... Oh, no, one more over there. Heal, come over here, you know, and they get him healed. And they're all exhausted. They all have their hands on their knees. They're all panting out of breath. And they say, Lord, I think we got it all. The day's done. Night, you know, the sun is setting. Can you please dismiss the crowd? So let's call it a night. And so that's a very, you know, understandable request. So verse 15, and when it was even, again, the whole picture point here for us to understand is when we feel like we have nothing, okay? Because now Jesus, he was exhausted all the time, yet he did great things. Because God multiplies in response to faith. I mean, that's how they all got healed to begin with. When they were just exhausted, they saw Jesus work literally a miracle and healed the miracle. Yes, he multiplied the loaves and the fish. But he also multiplied the miracle in healing, because he healed everyone. But you're going to see Jesus again doing this as a pattern of encouragement to you and I, a lesson for us that God multiplies in response to faith. So they ask Jesus, and his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, Lord. There's nothing here." another emphasis, another picture. There's nothing here in a desert place, and the time is now past. I mean, it's we should have dismissed the crowd 2 hours ago, but here we are. Send the multitude away. Please, let's just call it a night, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. So let's do it. And again, very understandable. They wanted to tap out. Now, how did Jesus respond? Verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And... oh boy! If I was there in person, I probably would have said something sarcastic, because that's just my when I get upset, I might give a little smart alecky answer. But the idea is the boss says, "Nope, there's more work to be done. No one going home yet. Everyone, let's serve them. We heal them. Now let's feed them." And that's what a response. And the disciples are like, "What? How are we gonna feed them? Not only is it not time to quit yet." But they literally have nothing. They have nothing except, of course, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So verse 17, and they say unto him, we have here but only, okay, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Of course, we know that it belongs to this lad, this young kid. And even then, to put it in perspective, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it might be adequate for one lad. when the Bible says loaves, it's not talking about the 20-ounce loaf of bread, family size, that we get at Pick and Save. It's more like a pancake or maybe a dinner roll, okay? Just a little thing that's a loaf, okay? When it talks about a fish, it's not saying a 3-pound salmon, okay? It's more like sardines, okay? So it's not nothing. It's still something, okay? But compared to 15,000 hungry people, 5 little pancake rolls and 2 little sardines is essentially nothing, right? I mean, so it's essentially nothing. How are you gonna feed everyone? But remember, the whole point of how God operates is that he multiplies in response to faith. So even when we have just 2 mites, God multiplies it for his glory. So they're going to see that in action here again. That was how they saw it with Jesus healing everyone. And they're going to see it again now with Jesus feeding everyone. And so what happens? So verse 18, now notice how it happens, how it plays out here. So Jesus said, he said, bring them hither to me. Jesus, what a blessing. Jesus didn't go, oh, I thought we had more. He doesn't say that. Like, oh, I thought we had 500 loaves and 2,000 fishes. You know, he didn't say that. He wasn't caught off guard. The disciples are saying, Lord, we got nothing. We got just, in fact, I mean, they took the boys. I'm assuming he gave it willingly, right? But say, all we have is just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus says, it's okay, bring it here. And then look at verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Has he multiplied the food yet? God the Father, God hasn't done it yet. It's still just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he is telling everyone to, okay, guys, tell them to sit down. And putting myself in the shoes of the disciples, how would I feel? I know what we have, or in fact, I know what we don't have, which is food. And I'm going to tell people, guys, sit down. And the crowd would ask, oh, is it time for dinner? And I go, just sit down. Okay, just sit down. And took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, now don't miss this, he what? Blessed. Jesus is saying grace. God hasn't multiplied the food yet. He's, in fact, all 4 accounts are very explicit in saying, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all say that Jesus thanked the Lord, thanked God, the Father, for the food before he broke it and passed and multiplied it. Okay, if you read Mark 6:41, I'll just read this here, just listen up here. But Mark 6:41, same thing. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed. Then he broke the loaves. In Luke 9:16, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. Again, saying grace. John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, then he distributed to the disciples. So again, Jesus is saying grace, thanking the Lord, blessing the food, nourish it to our bodies. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, how we would say grace over a meal. Now, he does this before he performs the miracle. Now, this is pretty amazing, because imagine gathering, I don't know, around a Thanksgiving dinner table, okay, for Thanksgiving. Now, typically for most of us, at a Thanksgiving dinner, we have way more food than people. I mean, that's kind of how it is, you know, just heaping food, except for mashed potatoes. Doesn't matter. No matter how much mashed potatoes you make, it's never enough. But anyway, I'm just saying everything else, as far as all the food, there's an abundance of food. And then we say grace, we thank the Lord for this tons of food. Amen. Dig in. But can you imagine having a Thanksgiving meal and all we have is, I don't know, just 1 slice of turkey? That's it. No side dishes, no stuffing, just 1 piece of turkey, thin cut, and just right there on the plate. And the whole family, or you have all the guests over, 20 people, let alone 15,000 people. And dad goes, hey, let's thank the Lord for the food. And the rest of the kids are going, is that okay? what food? There's nothing here. Dad, you know. But again, the whole emphasis, the lesson for you and I, God multiplies in response to our faith. And so Jesus thanks the Lord first. He blesses, then the rest of the verse 19, and break, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. That's amazing. And so at this point, it's hard for me. I don't know how it actually played out. He just keeps on breaking it. But it's like the cruise of oil that doesn't quit, right? It just keeps going, like, you know. And so that's amazing. And you fast forward. I mean, this would take, I don't know, if you ever been to a large banquet or something. If you think of, I don't know, think of the logistics. How many, if the disciples were the wait staff, I don't know, 12 of them, maybe there's some extras, 50 of them, you know. But think of all the groups of 50. Now, they're set down by 50, but if there are 15,000 people, there's a lot of groups. And so it takes a while to feed everyone. And during this time, it doesn't quit. God keeps multiplying. But God multiplies in response to our faith. And so, and they did all eat. Everyone got it. Everyone ate it and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Of course, now they have leftovers, much more than what they started with. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. I mean, that's amazing. Our faith is the catalyst that makes God multiply what we do. God multiplying is the last step. Our obedience, going hand in hand with faith, it's exhibited by obedience, is the first step. And too often, me in my flesh, I'm waiting there at the sideline, tapping my foot, waiting for God to multiply it first, then I'll thank him. You know, and so that's my takeaway. God multiplies in response to our faith. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We know this. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go to verse 6. The same principle here. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, the sequence, yes, he's talking about ministering and serving and laboring, but the sequence is also important. The planting happened first, then the watering happened next. Last, God gave the increase. God multiplied it. The faith and obedience always precedes the multiplying that God does. Same thing if you go to 2 Timothy with me. This is the example of the hardworking farmer. And, well, farmers have been an example of hard work since forever, since the Bible days. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 6. Notice how Paul here says it here. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, the must be first partaker, the idea is God is referencing the hardworking farmer, and the husbandman that labors first will be the first to enjoy the fruits of the harvest, okay? God gives the increase in response to the faithful labor of the husbandman, but he labors first, and God blesses and gives the increase, the crops. The quote-unquote lazy or unbelieving husbandman or farmer who doesn't labor, he won't be partaking because God won't have given him the increase, right? And so this is the faith that moves mountains, the faith that when I have nothing, I'm just all emptied out, when there's nothing left in me, when I'm emotionally drained, when I'm physically fatigued, yet that's the whole, the blessing is it was never me to begin with. Woohoo, praise God. And I just, God, you told me to go, so I'm going to go. You told me to do it, I'm going to do it. You told me to sow it, so I'm going to sow it. Pray, fast, minister. Even when we don't feel like we have anything, the disciples got to see it firsthand. What a blessing. Thank God every morning before our day starts, right? Don't just wait to go through our day and then see if it's worth thanking the Lord for. Oh, no, don't do that. Thank the Lord up front. Hey, Lord, thank you. This is going to be a great day. Well, because God loves me. Praise the Lord. And Lord, I got nothing. But Lord, here's my two mites. God multiplies, but he multiplies in response to our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a What a joy that we can come to you, Lord, even if we have just 5 loaves and 2 fishes or no loaves and no fishes, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Help us, Lord, even when we are empty within ourselves, to just trust and obey. Lord, we love you, and we know that you can multiply whatever little we have for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise